Good morning. It is good to see everyone. It's good to be back. We had a very good meeting. We were very encouraged by the brethren there, and I hope that we were able to encourage them as well. We had good attendance throughout the week, and we had even had a baptism the next to last night of the meeting. So it was an excellent meeting, just really enjoy being able to be with the brethren. But as always, it's good to be home, especially when y'all are having good weather. A little wet, but this is dry compared to Alabama. But glad to be back up and start to enjoy this cool weather that we're having. As we were traveling down over the past week, we ran into several areas where they were working on the roads. And of course, that's not exactly what you want to look forward to when you're driving along and it says road work ahead and left lane closed or right lane closed. And there were numerous times that occurred. And then once we got down around Chattanooga, all lanes were closed. There was a series of wrecks. And we sat there between Cleveland and Chattanooga for about an hour, just waiting for the traffic to begin to run again. Of course, once again, this is not something that you want. You like to have smooth sailing when you're traveling. You like to just be able to get in the car, set the cruise control, and just move right along and get to where you're wanting to be. But, you know, things don't always work the way that we want them to sometimes. Sometimes there's things in our way, there are barriers in our way that keep things from happening the way that we want them to happen. This morning I want to talk about some things that can impede our prayers, that can be barriers to our prayers that we offer up to God. And many times we may ask, you know, why am I not getting what I'm asking for? Why is God not helping me in any way? And maybe we need to stop and think for a moment that maybe something is hindering our prayers. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. The first thing we want to note is that sin in our heart is the number one thing that will hinder our prayers when we're striving to serve the Lord and then we allow ourselves to go off and to begin to act like the world. We can see that sin will cause us to not be able to offer our prayers up to God. In the 66th Psalm there, in the 18th verse there of that 66th Psalm, we read there, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." And that's what we need to understand is when we allow wickedness to come into our lives, when we allow sin to enter into our lives, then that causes God to not listen to us. We need to understand that sin separates us from God. Sin keeps us from being in that close fellowship with God and removes the wonderful avenue of prayer that we have been able to enjoy as a child of God. Sin is that which separates us and impedes that avenue of prayer. In Isaiah chapter 59, there beginning in verse 1, Isaiah records and says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And so we need to understand that when we allow sin to enter into our life, it's like that car wreck that just stops the traffic, that just stops it. There's no going around it. There's no getting by it. It's just stopped, and you're stuck there. And that's what we need to understand. When we allow sin to enter into our lives, when we allow sin to reign in our lives, then it stops us from being able to communicate with God. Now, that's not to say that we can't repent of our sins, and we can look at that and see that, and that's what we'll look at in just a moment. But when we allow sin to reign, that is, we continue in that sin, and we allow ourselves to continue in that sin, then it stops the avenue of prayer that we have. If we continue, then our prayers cannot be heard. If you look there in Isaiah chapter 1, go back to chapter 1 of that same book. In Isaiah chapter 1, there in verse 15, says, "So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered in blood." And so it's signifying that we're continuing to remain in the sin that we're in. That's what we need to understand. When we continue in that sin, it keeps us from being able to talk to God. We've got to repent of our sins and have a true repentance. Many times we think, well, I'll just confess my sins, but that's not enough. True repentance is turning away from that sin and striving to return to faithfulness. And only then, when your heart is truly behind the repentance, can your sins be forgiven and can you be returned to faithfulness to God. We would do well to heed Peter's words to Simon the sorcerer there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Excuse me, Paul's words to Simon the sorcerer when he said, "Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." So there you can pray, but you better make sure that your heart is behind it. You better make sure that you're repenting of that sin. If you're praying to God for help and you're continuing to live in sin, and you're not seeking forgiveness of that sin, then know that that sin that is in your heart, is going to keep God from listening to your prayers. But He's there and He's ready and He's waiting to listen to you when you repent of the sin that is in your life. Another thing that keeps the Lord from hearing our prayers is closed ears. We read of the Israelites that their hearing had waxed dull, that their hearing had been turned away from God. In Proverbs 28, there in verse 20, in verse 9, says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." In other words, someone who had turned away from the law of God is not even willing to listen to the law, then God's not going to listen to him. That's what we need to understand, that when we refuse to listen to God, when we refuse to heed His commandments, when we refuse to heed the things that He's telling us, well, why would He listen to us? Why would He listen to our prayers when we won't listen to the things that He has for us? After giving the parable of the sower, Jesus' disciples asked Him why He spoke in parables. And He said, "These parables are given so that those who want to hear can hear. But those who choose not to can just say, well, I didn't understand that. He spoke in a parable, therefore I didn't understand." And He even quoted there in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15 where He says, "The heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." What we need to understand is this is talking about those who choose not to listen. Not those that are out there in the world and have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about those. Those who are seeking for the Word of God, well, we know that they will find it. If they're asking questions about God, they will be answered. This is for those who choose not to listen. Who the Word of God is presented to them and it's clear as to what is needed in their life and they choose not to obey. Well, that's the ones that God will not listen. And so we need to understand that we've got to open our ears to listen to God before we can expect Him to listen to us. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, we read that the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You see, there's a large difference between those who stumble, who realize their error and try to make correction in their life, and those who continually, willingly remain in that sin, who refuse to repent, there's a big difference. And God will not listen to those who have closed their ears to Him. Once again, why would He listen when you're not willing to listen to Him? Another thing that can put a barrier before our prayers is that of improper motives. In other words, we're praying for the wrong reasons. We're praying because we want something, not something we need, but just something we want. We're praying for things that we should not be praying to God for. James writes in James chapter 4, there in verse 3, he says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." In other words, it seems that some were asking for riches, so that they could have the things that they want. Not the things that they need, but the things that they want. And it might be that someone's driving a perfectly good car and everything's going great and their best friend gets a new car and therefore they're like, "Well, I want a new car. God, I want you to help me to get a new car." Is that really what we should be praying to God for? Or maybe we live in a nice, comfortable home. It's not the biggest home in the block, but it's a nice, comfortable home. Our brother or sister moves into a newer home, and we think, "Well, I deserve that. Therefore, God, why won't You bless me like You've been blessing them?" You see, James says you're asking, and you're not receiving because you're asking from the wrong motives. You're asking so that you can spend it on the things that you want, so that you can do the things that you want to do. When we look at the desires of this world, they weigh heavily upon us, and sometimes we will be tempted to pray to God for these things. But Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 11, he says, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. And so we need to be careful that we don't allow these things to take precedence in our life, that we don't allow them to take over, and that we allow it to cause us to pray to God for things that we don't need. You see, we should, however, always ask with a proper attitude toward God. You know, it was not improper of Jesus there the night that He was betrayed, the night that He spent there in the garden to say, Father, please let this cup pass from me. There was nothing improper of that. And some might would go, well, He was being selfish in that, and that He didn't want to face the difficulties that were before Him. But note how He always ended every prayer. He said, not mine, not my will, but Thy will be done. You see, as we look in 1 John chapter 5, there in verse 14, John records and says, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for a better car, but just always pray with a, Lord, may Your will be done in this matter. And maybe we need to include, may I always accept Your will, whatever it may be. We need to have that attitude in our prayers. Whatever the Lord's will is in that, whether He wants to say yes or say no, we need to have that attitude. We need to be willing to pray with proper motives, that God's will be done and not ours. Another thing that impedes our faith, that puts a roadblock in our prayers, is that of wavering faith. We're not sure whether we believe in the power of prayer. We're not sure whether or not God can really answer our prayers. We're not sure really whether God has the power that we've been told. Going back to the book of James, there in James chapter 1, beginning there in verse 5, he says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now think about that for just a moment. How many times have you prayed to God, doubting that the answer would ever be given to you? How many times have you prayed to God, you know, there's no way that God can take control of this situation. There's no way that God can make this situation any better. God just isn't strong enough to do that. Do you understand? You're wavering in your faith in God. And how can you expect God to answer your prayer when you don't believe in Him? That man, we read there in verse 7, ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. If we're not asking in full faith, if we're not asking in full faith that God will answer our prayers, once again, according to His will, not ours, and ready to accept that will, but knowing that God has the power, knowing that God has the ability to answer our prayers in one way or another, only the one who asks in full faith is the one that is pleasing to God. Only the one who truly believes in God is the one that God will answer the prayers to. In Hebrews chapter 11, there in verse 6 we read that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now pause for just a moment. The ones who come to God. How do we come to God today? We come before Him in prayer. How do we ask things of Him? How does He reward us? Well, we ask for prayers. We ask in our prayer for God to bless us specifically spiritually, and God will reward us. But we have to believe that God is. That God is that great and wonderful power. And as we go further in the book of Hebrews, we can see there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 that we can draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Do you see the importance there of that faith? That true belief in God, that knowing that He is the Creator of all things, that He does have the power to answer our prayers, that His will be done. says having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, that is what is necessary for us to be heard of God. We have to believe Him. For us to be pleasing in His sight, for Him to turn His ears to us, we have to believe in Him. Well, how do we gain that belief? Well, as we've noted in previous lessons, it begins by looking at the creation and knowing that there is an all-powerful Creator. And then it increases by reading His Word. We read in Romans 10, then verse 17, that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. Maybe your faith is wavering. Maybe your prayers aren't being answered because your faith is wavering because you're not reading, you're not studying from the Word of God. We find ourselves adrift. We're tossed to and fro, as James says, in our lack of faith because we're not spending enough time with the Word of God. Reading the Word of God increases faith. Increasing your faith causes God to listen to you. So we need to make sure that we're not failing with this wavering faith. Another thing that is very clearly spelled out in the Scriptures that impedes our prayers is problems in the marriage. We don't oftentimes think about this. We think it's all upon us. It's all in how we're living. And if we're living a righteous life, and oftentimes we have a misconception about our righteousness and that, well, if we don't do certain things, then we're righteous and such. But the Apostle Peter writes there in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, he says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." In other words, if we are not dwelling in honor, if we are not treating our wife as we should, if we're not giving her the respect that she deserves, if the husband-wife relationship is not what it should be, Peter says quite clearly, our prayers are hindered. We've got to be living in this way that we should. Whether it be infidelity, lack of respect, or just strife in a marriage, it hinders our prayers. You see, God set forth the way that marriages should be. This is not the gospel of Tim Henderson or the gospel of the Apostle Paul. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God. As we read there in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, we read that wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And we may be thinking, well, I'm striving to serve the Lord. I'm repenting of my sins. I don't have sin dwelling in my heart. I'm trying to do things. I'm listening to the Word of God. Why are my prayers not being answered? Wives, are you heeding the Scriptures where it says to be in subjection to your husband? Perhaps the prayers are being hindered because you've not kept the place that God has set you in. But husbands, don't forget. There's a very clear command there to you that you love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Husbands, maybe your prayers are not being answered because you're being selfish. Because you like quoting the first part of that verse, wife, you must be in subjection to me, and you forget the love and the honor and the cherishing that you're supposed to be bestowing on your wife. We sing the song sometimes at weddings, where love is in the home, there's happiness. Where love is in the home, there's peace, there's joy. And when the husband is treating the wife in the way that he should, and the wife is showing the respect to her husband that she should, then our prayers will not be hindered. Once again, we read in Colossians chapter 3, there in verse 18, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them." Why are your prayers not being answered? Maybe you need to turn and look at your marriage. Maybe you need to look and see if you're the husband that you should be, or the wife that you need to be. Maybe you need to look and see if you're keeping the place that God has set for you. Maybe that's why your prayers are not being answered. The last one we want to look at this morning is that of spiritual weariness. when we look at our lives and we go through our lives and we're striving to serve the Lord, it seems sometimes that we accomplish nothing. As a local congregation, oftentimes we'll have gospel meetings, we'll have vacation Bible schools, we'll do various evangelistic efforts, and it seems that we bear no fruit. It seems that everything we're doing, all the money that we're spending, all the things that we're striving to do for the Lord is in vain. It grows wearisome. We grow tired. And when we become spiritually weary, then we find that we are not being heard. We need to make sure that we remain strong. This weakens our faith. This weakens our resolve to stand against sin. This spiritual weariness wears us down to the point to where we fall and we turn away from God. But you see, Paul tells us there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Perhaps our prayers that we're striving to offer to God, maybe they're not being heard because we're allowing ourselves to grow weary in our service to God. But we need to be looking and knowing that God will help us. God will bring fruit if we remain strong, if we remain steadfast, if we remain sure, if we continue in our labors. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there in verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." That's what we need to be looking at. If we're doing good, we've got to remain strong. We've got to continue in our path of doing the things that God requires of us. If we don't, then God will not listen to our prayers. If we allow ourselves to stop in our work, if we allow ourselves to grow too weary and to quit in our labors, then God will no longer listen. We've got to remember that we are not alone in our labors. Sometimes it seems that we're all alone. Sometimes it seems we're the only one trying to teach the gospel. Sometimes it seems that we're the only ones that are trying to do anything. But we need to know that God is there with us. In Romans chapter 8, there in verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" We can know as we go throughout our life that it is going to be difficult. And I can't think of anything worse than to know that our prayers are not being answered, that our petitions to God are not being heard. And so I hope and pray that you'll take this simple lesson, that you'll look at these things and maybe look into your life and see if some of these things are hindering your prayers, whether it be sin that is in your heart that you're unwilling to repent of. Well, as we've noted, all you have to do is repent of these things and God will hear you. Repent from the heart. Perhaps you've closed your mind to God. You've closed your ears to where you won't even hear the Word of God. Then it's time that you allow yourself to be pricked in the heart as they did there on the day of Pentecost. Let the Word of God really strike you so that you'll once again open to hear His Word and He'll once again hear you. We need to make sure that we're praying our prayers in a way that is pleasing to God, that we're seeking His will, not our own. Making sure that we're doing these things in a way that God would have us to do. And if your faith is wavering, then build it. Read from the Word of God. Study it. Spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Grow in the faith that you need so that your prayers will be heard. If there are problems in the marriage, work to solve them. Pray to God on these things. Pray to God that the problems will be solved and work so as to solve the problem. Husbands, love your wives as you should, just as Christ loved the church. Once again, as Paul says, and even gave Himself up for the church. That's the kind of sacrificial love that we're to have. Wives, show the proper respect to your husbands and don't grow weary. Because if God is for us, who is against us? I hope that this lesson will help you in your life. I hope that it will help you in your prayers. But you know what? Another big barrier to our prayer is the fact that many just don't pray. How can God answer prayers that are never offered? How many times do we look back in our life and we look and see, well, I don't remember the last time I prayed to God. Do we just pray when it's time to sit down to eat? Do we just pray when difficulties have come upon us?
You see, we should be praying to God as we read in the Scriptures, pray without ceasing. We should be a people of prayer. And that's how we can have our prayers answered. And so if you find in your life that you're not serving the Lord as you should, if you find in your life that you're failing in your service to God, that you're failing in that your prayers are not being answered, then make whatever correction is necessary this morning. Don't delay. If you need to obey the gospel so that God will hear your prayers, then repent of your sins, confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be buried in baptism, and God will listen to your prayers. You'll have that wonderful avenue of prayer available to you for the rest of your life. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've allowed sin to enter into your life. You've hardened your heart against the Word of God. Then once again, open your heart to God. Repent of the sin in your life, and God will hear your prayers. Whatever your situation might be, make it right as we stand and as we sing.